You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. We are back once again with another fantastic episode with my guy on my side, number five, Maddie the Most Savage, and I am yours truly, Mike the Apex Defender. And we may have to roll up the sleeves and knuckle up today because things might get a little chippy.
Yeah, we might be talking about Soccer Wars Part 2. We never know. I mean, that's the biggest rivalry right now, as we just talked about before we started recording. I mean, the MLS and the USL, we're talking about getting chippy and knuckling up. I mean, those guys are about to throw haymakers at each other. I love to see it. Competition makes it better.
Right? Still sharp and still, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know I had a kind of elaborate intro, guys, but let's get ready to rumble. Rivalry, guys. We're going to start out with this right now because that's what is, you know, in my heart and mind, that's what really makes a real super fan, right? Rivalry, right? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. But it's one particular thing I think people are forgetting about, right? And that is the willingness to compete, right? Just put it all out there on the pitch, on the field, just going all in. And, you know, I think a lot of people, well, I'm not going to call out the sport, but some guys only want to follow particular superstars instead of following their teams, right? And Maddie and I were all about the teams. That's what makes for great rivalries and, you know, just supporting your own, you know, your favorite team and whatnot.
That is correct. Follow with the teams. Don't follow the superstars, because the superstars will come and go. The teams stay. And, and speaking of teams and rivalry moments, got to give a little yellow card moment to
already.
Yeah, well, it's been making me hot for a little minute now, but I just want to say to the young man that this happened to, right, he needs to have a little bit more self-awareness of what he did. I ain't gonna go red card it. I was nuclear when it went down, but more so after the fact, because it was kind of snuck in there. And
right,
I'll preface it like this. Last week, watched the Charlotte FC versus my Nashville SC play. It was an excellent game. Very good game. However, in the game, Walker Zimmerman, our captain, best defender, been in the league, been with the team for a long time, he went down with a head injury. Kerwin Vargas went for a bicycle kick and missed it, and he got him right in the face. I mean, it was bad. Me and my brother and his wife come over, and then we were watching the game. And as soon as it happened, I was both of us at the same time, like, ooh, like it was one of those like really bad moments. They paused the game, stretchered him out of there. It had to stop the game for at least 10 minutes, maybe even longer. It was a long time. And we're, as Nashville fans and people in general, were concerned about his well-being. Okay. Right. Fast forward to the game. The game, you know, it has to go on. One player doesn't, you know, make or break a team, so you got to go on. Later on, think about 8 minutes later, Charlotte scores, one of their young guys, Toklamati. He gets the goal. And what celebration does he do, Mike? Do you know what celebration he decided to do?
He did the Steph Curry.
Curry, the night-night. Okay, young man. Yellow card on that moment. Every celebration is available to him at that moment. But he decided to do the night-night celebration after a guy literally got kicked in the head and more than likely is unconscious, gets wheeled out of there. And that's the decision that you got? Okay, talk about rivalry. He will definitely have his name circled for Nashville fans whenever they go back to Nashville. And as some people have said, he better pray that he starts and he's not a sub, because they are going to let him hear it constantly over there, and rightly so. Young man, rightly yellow card. So. Do yellow not card. Do that.
For sure, for sure. And just not to sprinkle any salt in the wounds, but the coach over there, Coach Charlotte FC's coach, Dean Smith, had some words afterwards, right? I don't know if you saw that, right?
Yeah, there was an article.
You saw that? He's talking a little spicy, right? He was like pretty much calling out your fans, right? And he was like, I don't know if I would call it into his credit. I think he was over in the EuroLeagues, right? Before he came over here to America. So he's used to the, you know, crazy super fans. But he kind of, I thought it was a little shot right there. And he was like, I don't really consider it a rivalry because, you know, looking at the, and I don't like to call out the numbers, but Charlotte, we've been there. They play in the Panther Stadium. What, it hold like 50,000? So I think you guys had about 20, it was like 29,000 or something. But it wasn't a lot of Nashville fans that traveled there, I guess. This is coming from him. So he was like, oh, they're not really supporting their team like that. Yada, 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 you know. Now, I just found that very interesting because we know that Nashville fans are great fans. Shout out to you guys, super fans up there. And I don't know. They were saying that maybe because of the distance, it's about 400 miles, which that's not that far.
Well, one way. It's not so much the distance. It's how you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no – I will say I'm a traveling Nashville fan. I've gone to we went to Charlotte last year when it was in Bank of America. And I'll admit, yeah, at Charlotte, there wasn't that many fans. Right. And then I also went to Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz. And I think that one is a little bit more of a – it's a more of a straight shot. And there was a lot – I ain't gonna say a lot. There was more, way more Nashville fans in Atlanta than there was at Charlotte. So I think it's more so how to get there. I mean, you're a truck driver, so you know. Nashville to Atlanta, it's a straight shot. You get on the interstate, boom, it's no issue. There is no straight shot interstate exchange from Nashville to Charlotte. So I think that the that really plays its role as far as why there aren't as many Nashville fans that go to the Charlotte game. We went because I'm kind of in between both of them. So it's about the same distance to go to Atlanta as it is to go to Charlotte for where I am. So, I could do either or, but yeah, I think that's what played. And you're right. He's coming from the Premier League, and in England, everybody's a stone's throw from each other. I mean, they're teams on top of teams. So it's nothing for you to go like, oh, yeah, this club down the street is playing us. Well, of course I'm going to go because it's not nothing. It's nothing for me to make that travel distance. But here in America, we're such a large country that it just doesn't make it, you know, feasible to go do that occasionally. Now, sometimes you can, but sometimes it's just, you know, just not in gas is high, man. Right. You can't be going and doing stuff like that.
It is. Super fans, you guys got a carpool or something. Hop on the Greyhound or something, you know what I'm saying? But I like I said, we've been to both stadiums, and the Nashville fans, both of these fans are really great. Nashville fans, I mean, they show up. They're pretty much, you know, 75-80% to capacity every match at home. So the fans show up, you know what I'm saying? It's just they didn't travel like that. But I just thought that was kind of a shot. Because of the situation with Walker Zimmerman, who is, by the way, your captain, correct?
And, yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
See? So he's a major piece for us. So for him to kind of say that, I'm like, dude, you know. And I picked Charlotte, you know. That was my squad I picked at the beginning of the season. Yeah. I thought they were very good. But, you know, calm down a little bit, guy, because that might come back and bite you in the butt later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and shout out, and look, and this is coming from a Nashville fan, and like I said, this is I'm giving their credit. Right now they're top of the East for the time being as a time of recording. So shout out to them. They're doing their thing, but they're doing it in a way that's just like, come on, man, act like you've been here before. I understand you haven't, but from the fans' perspective, it's like, act like you have, you know, a winning team, or you've actually been a part of a winning team. I know it's hard because my brother, love him to death. He is Charlotte to his core. So, and he explained this to me. He said, one of the reasons why Charlotte FC is blowing up so much is because they don't have a winner. If you think about the Panthers, right? Panthers have been not good since Cam left. Not great. The Hornets, Pats exception almost. I mean, it's just terrible. And then you got Charlotte FC. So for them to have a winning team that they can rally around and also support, and to be on the top, you know, they're used to being either at the bottom or struggling to maybe make the playoffs. I know the Hornets did that a couple of times where they maybe make the playoffs if some things fall their way. So. Right. That's the reason why it is what it is, but
But give them
credit.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I love it. I think it's overall great as far as rivalry and competitions. Like, this is what rivalries are made of right here. Just this whole, you know, this whole thing that's going on with between you guys and, you know, Charlotte. Hey, it's great for rivalries, and it's going to get the fans, super fans, all into this. And, that's another thing I think, MLS, hope you guys are listening. Rivalry, we see, I just saw the WNBA, shout out to them. They're going to have a rivalry week, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a really cool thing. And that's a concept I think that we should actually implement over here, right?
Well, we do. It's just I feel that the MLS, they do have some rivalries, because I think that's going to be coming up here in a little bit. They talk about it, like rivalry week or whatever. And they have some that they have as, quote, rivalries. And they have some that are real rivalries. Like I said.
Is it regional rivalry or really a real
regional,
rivalry?
Right. They'll have some that ain't, regional that
ain't,
rivalries.
To me, that ain't.
They aren't really there yet. Like, take our with Charlotte, it's not there yet, but it's getting there. And then I think they have, for our rival, they have it as we're playing Atlanta, I believe. And it's just like, it's not there yet. I don't see Atlanta as a rival, and I don't see Charlotte as a rival yet. But it's like, I don't like what the kid did, but you know, it's getting there. Somebody's take time to you know,
he puts you to Betty by. Come on, it's a rivalry now, right? The gloves are off now. That's why I said it's knuckle up.
I don't see that as it towards the team. I see it as towards the player, because he was the only one. You know what I mean? It's not like I would admit to you it would be a rivalry if it was him and a couple of others. If they joined in with it, then I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the team. But I just see that, like I said, that's why I give the yellow card to just the player, because he needed to have a little bit more wherewithal of the situation and say, hey, this isn't quite what I need to do. This isn't a tasteful celebration. Let me choose anything else in my, you know, my toolkit of celebrations here. I mean, he could have done anything. I mean, he could have done the Ronaldo shoo, but he decided not to. I mean, bro, just anyways. Yeah.
I think a line was drawn on the pitch, and he crossed the line. He disrespected. Mm-hmm. So the next time you guys see them, right, it's on. Yeah. It's on like Donkey Kong now. You know, look, guys want to get some get back now. You heard our guy, you know, and then you disrespect like that. And then your coach is like kind of blowing you guys off to me. That's what it feels like to me. You know, I take it personally. So I hope to see you guys come out with a lot. And I know you will. You know, play him at home. You guys play? I'm trying to see if you play him. At home.
So I think May 11th, I think, if I heard right.
Ooh, circle that. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely circle that. If I already know the date. It's May 11th. If I already know the date.
Ooh, yeah, that's going.
Wait, or 10th. MLS? It might be. No. I told you wrong. It's May 10th. May 11th is Mother's Day, guys. Make that mark down on your calendar. I'm looking at it.
So look, to your mom.
Yeah, no, it's the 10th. It's the 10th at 8:30.
Yeah, they need to definitely have that as a featured, you know, match right there, because that's going to be that's going to be crazy right there. I can't wait to watch that match and whatnot. And go ahead.
You kind of mentioned feature matches. That could segue into kind of what we were talking about, our meat of our, you know, kind of our gripe right now is, you know, talking about rivalry, think we got a, well, we know it's not a thing. We know there's a league rivalry between the MLS and the USL. And you can, you want to get into that, Mike?
Yeah, we can. I guess, like you said on the intro, it's kind of like Soccer Wars 2 right now, right? You know, a couple episodes ago, we kind of went into that a little bit briefly. And then upon further investigation, right, shout out to Maddie Savage. Yeah, we found out that USL got it bubbling over there right now. They got a lot of things going that, just got to be honest, guys, that are really shrewd and really, you know, really smart. And I think it's going to be great for their league. Meanwhile, as Maddie, we were talking earlier, it seems like we're 2 years behind over here, right? MLS, listen up, please. We love you guys, but you got to step your game up right now, okay? You got Messi. We love Messi. But like I was telling Maddie earlier, it's almost like we brought him in like a magical talisman, right? We know Messi is the GOAT. He's coming over here. Everybody's, you know, getting him. And I think he's about to sign an extension, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's talking about...
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's the rumor. We'll see. It's until pen hits paper, it's all a rumor.
Okay. So that's great. You know, and I give him kudos for that, getting Messi over here. And, of course, he's attracting other great players, international players coming. But... We're getting down to business now. That's why we're talking Soccer Wars 2, guys. Because on the business end, MLS is lagging right now, right? They're lagging, and they need to step their game up. Maddie, go ahead. I'll let you. You had a lot on your chest. You were trying to get savage earlier. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. So, person shared this article on Twitter, and it's talking about the USL on CBS. And they have the numbers to back it up. And that's what really kind of shook me to my core. A couple episodes ago, we talked about how MLS needs to expand their linear TV path. That be, you know, through the, you know, over the air networks, whether it be, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, you know, where
free TV guys
do what now?
No, I said free TV. I was just
free
saying
TV, right. Yes. Free TV, right? Free TV. Or, you know, some avenue like that. Well, the USL on CBS numbers for the San Antonio FC versus Phoenix Rising FC on CBS was the average viewer, 444,000. It's like,
wow.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. That's solid.
The peak
yes.
was 760,000.
Whoa.
That's decent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's very good.
That's not, you know, NFL on CBS or NFL on Fox numbers, but for soccer, for that, that's pretty good.
Right.
Now, on the flip side, and the same person shared the information from MLS on Fox. Say, like, you're talking about, you got soccer on one channel and soccer on another channel, both of them professional, right?
Right.
Here's some of these numbers. LAFC versus Austin on 315. Average viewer, 230,000. All right. Next day, 316, Portland and Galaxy. Average viewer, 244,000. Same Yikes. Day, Philly and Nashville. That was the game. I watched it on Fox. I was one of these. 214,000. Okay.
Yes. Wow.
4-5, Austin and Portland. This is in primetime. They have it in parentheses. In primetime. Average viewer, 161,000. That one there was the one that just really like, what?
Yeah.
I watched it. I was one of those ones that watched it, but 161,000, that's it?
That's trash. Straight
that's trash.
Straight garbage.
It is trash. And if you listen in, how many times did I mention Portland, Mike? I mean...
Yeah, they've been on.
Oh, and by the
times.
Way, aren't they playing?
They're on right now.
They're on right now playing SKC. So that's what, four times that Portland's played? I mean, come on.
Yeah, full time they just beat 4-2. They beat.
Well, at least it was an entertaining match. 4-2. There's some goals in it, but come on, man. How many times is Austin going to be playing? How many times is Portland going to be playing?
Right.
And here we are today. If actually right now 4:30 kicking off, you got Miami is playing Chicago. This is what I was talking about. with you. So here you have teams that have already got their shine on the spotlight on national TV, right? In Portland, in Austin, these other ones, right? They're not getting right. People aren't interested in watching them. But here you have Chicago, who's a resurgent team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big media market, and Miami, mm-hmm. they're playing. Do you have the game at 4:30 and put it on national TV? No, you put SKC and Portland, okay? Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to either one of those teams, but people want to watch Miami. Miami's a hot team right now. Everybody, mm-hmm. the eyes are on them. And Apple seems to be, and MLS for that matter, seem to be hiding them on just on Apple instead of sharing it around. Every team should get a linear TV, which is, like I said, Fox or these other, they should get their shine on a national spotlight. Every team should get it.
Yes.
No team should be hidden behind Apple TV, and no team should be thrown onto the prime time linear TV a couple different times. And you mentioned it that you think that some of these teams might be paying their way. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. You got, and no disrespect to these teams, guys, all right, super fans. Portland, three times, right? Austin, mm-hmm. three times, right? And we got 30 teams. I mean, Maddie and I just went over the other episode about the five surprise teams, right? These teams coming out the gate, they're playing great. I mean, it's exciting to see these guys play. Why aren't they getting exposure? Like Maddie just said, why aren't these guys on linear TV? MLS, great deal with Apple. We love it. Great app on you know, the app is excellent. It's, to me, it's the best sports app out. We've talked about this. We talked about, you know, that the Apple, the package that they have, the coverage and everything. I mean, they stepped their game up, the studio. But how about offering this to people who maybe can't afford or don't, you know, they might not be a soccer fan like that. You gotta be able to grow your game by allowing all these other teams an opportunity to be shown on linear TV, free to the public. Where's the local coverage, guys? Why aren't you guys getting, you know, all these cities? You got 30 cities. There should be any city, right? Guys covering local local teams and whatnot. I mean, it's very frustrating, but at the same time, I love it. And Maddie, it's soccer.
There's a lot of improvement. There's a lot of room for improvement, for sure.
It is. It is, because it's gonna force MLS to step their game up, right? Mm-hmm. We know that USL's with ESPN, they got that big deal, right?
And CBS.
Mm-hmm. Now let's since we're here, let's take it over there. They had a big meeting this week, right? All of the big wigs.
Oh my gosh, you're talking about the meeting now?
Yes. What the hell? Bro, I mean, for the life of me.
Yeah.
Why would you try to hold on to international?
You mentioned the meeting, but you got to explain the meeting, right? You can't leave them in suspense. What meeting was it that you were talking about? Huh?
Yeah, so pretty much, guys, there was a meeting the other day, right? And all of the, I guess this was the owners and whatnot, or
it was the owners, correct.
MLS teams, they met. And they've been kind of kicking this around, you know, kicking the can around, talking about this for a while, about possibly switching to an international schedule, right? Like going from the, what is it, fall and then ending in the spring, correct? Instead of going from what we have now, where we're pretty much starting at the beginning of the year, which is like a spring until fall schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're soccer guys. We're in America. We're trying to grow the game. Soccer is the number one global sport in the world. No competition, right? Why in the world? We're in America. That's why we call it soccer. We got football over here, NFL football during that time. We got
College football.
You got basketball.
High school football. Football everywhere, yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. I got to take a sip of water. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, really. I mean, you got NFL. You've got college football. You've got your Pee Wee League football. You got all these other ones that take people here in this country anyways. That takes their mind. That's what takes, you know, from August until probably December, January, into February, here in America, it is pigskin football. That's what it is, right? And here on this podcast, we love soccer. We watch it, but it's like we watch that and also keep up with the other. Like we'll have like two or three screens or two screens and a TV going. Like it's just we go crazy with it. That's why we are. We call ourselves super fans.
Yes.
Then you also have the NBA starts in what, October generally, Mike?
Yes, NBA starts in October. Yep.
They start that in October. Okay. So if you switch over to this schedule, you've got the MLS starting like right as almost as soon as the NFL is kicking off. And then a couple of months behind that, you've got the NBA kicking off or tipping off.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Whereas right now they have the whole summer minus baseball. They got to compete with baseball and that's it. Baseball is way more laid back and, you know, you got series, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like if you miss a game, I'm talking about from a casual fan's perspective, casual right? Mm-hmm. You can keep up with your team. And it's like, but if you really want to watch MLS on a Saturday night, I don't think that in the middle of the summer, a Sunday or Saturday night game or Sunday afternoon game, you might be able to catch both, right? And then that's the only thing you have to worry about. If you've got college football versus MLS, college football is going to dominate that. You got NFL football versus MLS, NFL is going to dominate that. I mean, even during the NBA versus the MLS, you're pushing out the casual fans to get more on a European schedule. And I don't like it at all. None at all.
And you're right. And think about the weather. I just thought about that because we had that match that was in, I think it was Salt Lake, last year? And Miami played up there, and it was a big there. Everybody was complaining about it. They said it was too cold. You remember that?
That was the LAFC. Yeah, because
LAFC. Okay, I'm sorry. LAFC. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
That was the Orange Ball game where it started to snow like crazy.
Right. So if they switch, right? So you got Minnesota. What is it? Chicago, Toronto. I mean, New England. You can name several teams. Even my Red Bulls, right? Dude, that's going to have a lower attendance because it's going to be cold as the North Pole out there. It's going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then you got the holiday season coming in. You got a lot of that, you know. Like you said, mentioned earlier, the bowl games, NBA. I just think, I think it's a bad look, man. I'm just going to be honest with them. I think that's like shooting themselves in the foot right now. You have a great product. You're getting a fan base. To me, it's the perfect schedule, right?
Yeah.
What it is right now.
And again, you mentioned shooting yourself in the foot. You're definitely doing that because MLS, hello, pay attention. What is USL? When are they doing their league season? The exact same time you're doing it now. So that means that they're looking at it and saying all of these things. They're plotting it out. They got, you know, we're using the whole Soccer Wars Part 2 market, right? Their generals are plotting it out saying, hey, this is strategically where we want to place our forces. We want to do it this way because we see it as a winning strategy. And MLS is saying, let's move over here because we think that this position is better. And it's not. It's worse.
So you're saying MLS don't want no smoke? They don't want any smoke?
That's the way it seems. It really does the way it seems, right? It looks like they're dodging them. It does. I don't get it. I really don't get it. And you're going to bypass the casual fan of the sport in general, especially in a time where we ain't even really talked about it too much, but we got the World Cup next year. That's the perfect time to absorb in the casual fan after they get that little taste and see how good that the World Cup is going to be here in America. They're going to want more. And if you're going to and some of the people who were pushing for the European schedule change, that's what they were saying as far as after the World Cup and right after that, switch over to the European schedule for the MLS so that way you transition into from World Cup to MLS to try and get the viewers. That was one of the kind of, I guess you could say, silver linings of it. And I get it, but it's just like, it's not guaranteed that that's going to happen, but you're going to whet their appetite with the World Cup. And then guess what? You're going to come right back in February, and there you are. Whereas if you don't, you do a different schedule, it may not work that way. I don't know. I'm glad they decided not to for the time being. They're gonna take it back up in 2027. But yeah, this one was it makes you scratch your head and wonder, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I think they're setting themselves up. And this is my honest opinion. For someone that, like you said, we love the game, we love the sport, we love soccer, we love MLS. We want them to be successful. But right now, it's like our little bro, USL, no disrespect, right? Our little bro is sunning us right now, right? They're saying, hey, we're stepping in, and we're backing down. We're trying to run away from the smoke. We talked about rivalry and competition, right? You got to want to compete, right? You got to have to want to compete. And right now, we don't want to compete. And we definitely don't need to try to compete. Dude, you got to redo all your TV deals. I mean, everything, the playoff, everything's going to switch and is not going to be to the benefit of the MLS, in my opinion. I mean, listen to your fans, guys. And look, all you got to do is do a survey. You want to do everything else? A survey and ask the fans what they would prefer. And I guarantee you they want the schedule that we have right now. I mean, the only thing I could see that would be a positive is they have maybe more access to international players, maybe, right? If we switch to the international schedule, I'm trying to think of a positive.
That right? is a possibility. You're right about that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That might be it. But other than that, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
From this super fan's perspective, right? If you want your league to be successful, to be competitive and everything else, it doesn't matter whether it's your TV deals. It doesn't matter. Like I said, the Apple deal was a good one. That paid the most money. Epic. But I think that whenever they were negotiating that, they should have also thought about the casual fan and said, okay, you guys get the streaming rights, but we're also going to do this as well. Instead of it being like leftovers. That's what it feels like. These games, they feel like leftovers on Fox. There's no advertising for it. The games themselves, it seems like they're just kind of like just random, you know, throw darts in the dark and be like, oh, yeah, that team, they're playing. Like, I mean, it really is. I mean, again, in a perfect world, right, they introduced the Sunday Night Soccer. And I got into this with you before we got to recording. And I really think that it would have been a flawless execution of a business plan. I even call it, you know, whatever. It's a business plan.
Business plan, yes.
You do the linear, over-the-air, free TV, however you want to call it, right? You do that game at 4:30. You pick a good one. And
right.
There is a good one on right now, like I said, at 4:30 for Miami and Chicago. Probably catch that second half, right? That's gonna be a good game, right? You have that one on regular TV. You get eyes on that game. You also have a good game on Sunday night, which there's going to be one, Columbus and St. Louis.
St. Louis, yep.
The games normally last 2 hours, right? So you got 4:30 to 6:30. Well, then you got 30 minutes, give or take, depending on how the game goes over or doesn't. You got your 30 minutes of free game for your Sunday night soccer. And during the first game that's on linear, you hammer home Sunday night soccer. You advertise and talk about the pregame. All of these things. You just set it up very nicely. You talk about the league pass, the whole nine yards, right? Season pass. Excuse me, not league pass.
Season pass.
And then you have your Sunday night game. You could do it both ways. You can do it. That way you have a casual fan that's watching good. And every team should be included in that. You get you get two good marquee matchups on Sunday, and no a super fan is gonna be able, because if you have the Apple MLS pass, right, you could watch them both on Apple because they have the streaming rights. You don't have to watch it on regular TV. The regular TV game is for the people who don't have that, but still want to watch it and are curious. And then guess what? You hit them with that good product, because it is a good product. Man, that's pretty good. But how do I get more? Right. Well, you got to do this and this, and it goes from there. But if you just put the same teams, the same leftover games, who's going to be interested in this? I am a super fan, and I'm not even interested in it.
right. No, it's frustrating, and this feels almost, it feels almost like in the music industry, they have a thing called a 360 deal, right? Where pretty much it's like an artist signs to a label, and then that particular label has the rights to like everything, right? Pretty much everything that the artist does, the record label has they're in on it, right? Whatever side deals you do, they're going to get a percentage. And it feels as if they've done that with Apple, right? That's what it's feeling like right now, bro. I hate to say it, because they're not even advertising. You spoke about this earlier. They're not even showing any commercials or anything on Fox, right? And I think you said the deal's coming up. It's about to be. When is it up? Another year or so?
I think it's. If it's not end of this year, it's end of next year. The deal, with Fox. It could be 27. I'm not sure. 27? But it is coming up soon.
That's why they're saying 27. That might you're probably right. Okay, so we need to be looking at NBC, guys, YouTube TV, Roku, Tubi. It's all these outlets that are free, you know what I'm saying? That we can, and they got a great commercial. We've seen that Messi commercial. It's pretty sick. But what about all these other guys you got? You know, all these other teams, the home markets. It should be commercials in all these 30 major cities or whatever. They should be having commercials with MLS, bro. I mean, why not? It's like they don't. I don't get it, man.
And this is to top off. Just popped up in my head. We've been talked about this. MLS needs to get with their sponsors, and their sponsors who pay them money need to get with a program as far as advertising. For promotion and advertising and
marketing stuff,
marketing, but the I'm trying to think the merchandising. The merchandising. You've mentioned it. You've given them props. Yeti is a sponsor, right? Why is it that there aren't a every team Yeti tumbler? Hello,
exactly. I love Yeti.
and you know what? I don't know, because I haven't been to a pro shop in a while or whatever, but the minimum you should have them at the venues, at the stadiums, and the pro shops.
Yes,
every single one of them. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Again, that we'll have to check that out and report on that later. But that's a simple idea. We have said this many times, and I think that your Red Bulls might have the reason why this isn't a thing. But you don't have to include them in this. It doesn't have to do every team. But why isn't it that Celsius, who's the energy drink sponsor, why haven't they come out with limited edition MLS sponsor cans?
Yes.
It's simple stuff. It's simple. And you get it out there. You're a sponsor, right? And the MLS says, hey, as a sponsor, we want you to do XYZ thing. You get it out there, and now you have merchandising. You got all this stuff out there. And people get curious. They're like, hey, that's pretty neat. What's that? Oh, MLS? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, and it's an entire ecosystem of merchandising. This is from growing up with the NFL, with the NBA, and everything else. MLS needs to start taking notes, or they're going to be left behind. And these are simple things from our super fans that they should be thinking about, or at least have people who are smarter than we are coming up with these things. I mean, come on.
Right. They are not. I mean, like I said, they have a good product, but they're not trying to make it great. And like you said, with the rise, the soccer wars again, with the rising of USL coming along, and it's great for us as fans. You know, we love the sport, period. But you know, we are particularly, MLS fans. But bro, you just gave you guys, if you're listening to this, super fans, you already know what it is. Get on social media, guys. Get on Twitter, guys. Get on the MLS app, guys. Let them know. We want to keep our season what it is now. We don't want you guys messing around and screwing around. And whatever reason it is, you know it's all about the Benjamins, baby. So it's definitely a money thing for whatever reason they're trying to do this, right? That's what they think. But they're alienating their own fans and, again, running away from the smoke. because we know in a couple years they're going to be in. That's 2027, I think. USL deal is kicking in too, right?
Yeah,
that's when they're going. Yes, sir. See how that works. Come on, guys. I mean, come on, don't poke out now.
It's all of those things that just stated. That's ammunition to end the war. I'm telling you, that's perfect ammunition. You're talking, that's the nuclear bombs of this soccer war, right? The power of the already signed deals that MLS has with a lot of known sponsors. If you don't know about Celsius now, then I don't know what rock you're under, because it seems like the whole country knows about Celsius. Let's see, what's in the Yeti? Almost everybody knows about Yeti. And you got, what's a couple of Audis, another official sponsor of MLS?
There's some
big name sponsors that could really throw some weight behind MLS really put this over. And I don't know that many from USL as far as main name brand sponsors.
Right.
But yeah, this is good. This is what we need. This is the competition. You just mentioned it, talking about steel sharpened steel. But if you're not willing to want to be to get better at your craft, whether it be sports, whether it be media or supervision, management, however you want to call it,
right?
If you're just okay and you're resting on your laurels and say, "Oh, we got Messi and that's it," well, guess what?
Right.
Messi decides to retire, whenever that'll be, then what do you have? If all you're worried about is Messi, then all you're going to have is Messi, good and bad.
Exactly. And even on a deeper note, I think about the young kids, right, coming up, the young athletes, right? A lot of kids want to play football or baseball or basketball or what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of great athletes that could be playing soccer right now. It's no reason we have. I mean, I'm not tooting a horn, but you're talking about athletes in America. We're right there at the top in the world, right? We could be getting more guys playing soccer, getting out here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And getting into the MLS and competing. That's what I'm looking at. And the way you guys are mismarketing, you know, the league and not making it available and free for these kids to watch, like you said, Maddie, where they can just go on and, you know, turn the TV and watch without having to have, you know, Apple or whatever. And Apple's doing, like I said, a great job with it. But, man, we have 30 teams that are all great and have a lot of energy and a lot of great super fans. And I'm definitely going to send an email or something or get on there, and I'm going to put my 2 cents in, put some money where my mouth is too. So,
yeah.
And we already do, you know, we support USA Soccer, you know, and all of that. Financially.
All right. So. Well, we got a little bit of time left. You want to talk about the past games that we had? We had some shockers. Had some shockers that happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, go ahead, since me and you were going back and forth, and I was, you guys are my second favorite team in MLS. That was a great match. I mean, epic. I think you need to start with that. That was a epic match, great ending. Surridge to the rescue, I think that's what I told you. But, man, you can speak a little bit on that one, man.
Yeah, it was a good match. I feel like that we got frustrated in the first half. Both Hani and Surge, they kind of had words at halftime. But it was good because, you know what, that shows, you just talked about it, that shows that competitive fire, that edge. And whenever it got time where the nitty-gritty is, you know, the rubber meets the road, it's time for, you know, winning time. Egos didn't win. You know what I'm saying? Hani's been struggling from the penalty stripe, and he's missed a couple, and he decided to hand it off to Sam. Sam went and knocked it, I mean,
man,
clean as can be. I mean, it was. I was nervous. I am not going to – and my wife, she can verify for that. I had my eyes closed, and I was like, head over my eye. I couldn't see it for a little bit. I was like, oh, man. But he did his thing. Good thing on Surge. Good thing for the club. We won 2-1 versus RSL. He got chippy at times, and you know, but it was good. That one was a good one.
Let me say something real quick. Not let's stop you. I love what you just said. You got nervous. That is a true super fan right there, Maddie. That's a true fan because that's how I am. We love our team. We love our teams, guys. Teams so much, right? We want them to win. We're that passionate. Yeah, we get nervous. I used to get butterflies back as a kid growing up. You know, your team, you couldn't wait. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, wow, you know. And, you know, I'm supporting all things New York. But I told you, the mediocre Red Bulls, we ended up tying with Orlando. And Orlando, you know, they're a good team, no doubt. What's called? He got a red card against us. But I was just saying.
Slagle, yeah, that's the thing, man. When you're against a team that goes down a man, you gotta go for the win. That was disappointing by y'all.
We're doing what we did last year. All of that, you know, all those ties we had. Right. You know, and I'm giving them time.
I called it before the season. I said, you know, you guys could be up there in the upper echelon, two or three, heck, even one. But your coach, he doesn't like to lose, but he don't mind tying. And that's going to, you know, then it helps you guys stay within the playoff hunt. But you're going to drop lower than you should be because of dropping points and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a missed opportunity by you guys, but at least you didn't lose it. So
no, we didn't. Positive. We got a point, and you know, that's cool, whatnot. But I don't know. But again,
last episode we were talking about the coaching carousel, and I got a pick here for you. One of those coaches that we mentioned in the coaching carousel. Was New England's coach, Porter. And he led his team into Atlanta, and they go in, get a 1-0 win in pins. So for the time being, Caleb Porter is, you know, kind of cooling, knocking the temperature down on his pot just a little bit by getting that win, just a hair, just a little bit, you know. Instead of at a 5, he went from a 5 to a 4. So the water is not quite boiling on him yet. But what say you on that one?
No, shout out to him, and we called him out, and he answered the bell. I mean, he got his guys ready. They came out there and in Atlanta, no doubt, right? Atlanta is, they got a pretty, we've been there several times. They have a really nice fan base right there, and they're loud and they're raucous. And, you know, he stepped up to the challenge. And that's what it's about. I mean, when you're competing, even, you know, we put a lot on these players, and it's like, what's the word I want to say? It's 50-50 to me. The coaches have to be able to motivate these guys and also strategize, right?
Yeah.
You know this. We see a lot of coaches, and you know, making suspect moves, bonehead moves, poor substitution. You know, we see that all. But for this guy to go and get that win like that, right, I got to tip my hat to him. And, you know, hey, man, that tells me a lot. And you're right. He was on a 5. He was definitely cooking. The water wasn't boiling.
And it was almost. You could see the bubbles. It was almost.
Yeah. I was cutting up the onions. The potatoes was in the pot. Well, and I was cutting them up.
We had a couple of that last night was actually the night of 1-0 or 1-0 games. Yes. So that game there, New England and Atlanta, was 1-0 to New England. You also had Charlotte and Montreal. Charlotte got the win 1-0. Yes. Cincinnati got the win, 1-0 versus DC. And oh, by the way, another one, 1-0 NYCFC versus Philadelphia. So some very good defensive games yesterday night. Dope. Very good defensive games.
I didn't get a chance to catch. We're going to go back and watch. That is one of the beauties of having the Apple, the MLS pass, season pass, right? We can go back and watch. I like how they have that. You know, we can watch these, pretty much watch the match like in a, what is it? Like, they have a shortened version. You can watch all the
The recaps.
Yeah, I got to go back because that FC Dallas and Seattle Sounders, that was a 1-0 game also.
Oh, yeah, another 1-0 game.
Man.
The 4 that they had last night. Like I said, defense was winning last night for sure. But there was one game, Mike, that was not defensive at all. You know what game we're talking about?
Yeah.
Which one was that? Go ahead, tell the guys, what game was that?
Vancouver, and I couldn't believe it. It was. Yeah. Vancouver went, they were white cap hot last night, and they just went crazy on Austin. They were home.
You got to correct it, Mike. They were Brian White hot. He goes off.
Four goals. Yes. Yeah, that was amazing, right?
Yeah.
Wow. It was. Just
Miami's got to look out because they got to play them midweek. Vancouver and Miami for the CONCACAF. That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a very good one.
What night is that? I got to mark that down.
I think it's Wednesday. Don't
Wednesday?
Put me down to that. It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. Hold on. I'm on the app right now. Let me look and see when they play.
Check that out for me, please.
They play...
Yeah, you went crazy in that one.
Okay, so it's not this week. It's coming up.
Week after. What, week after
probably,
next?
Probably so. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably a week after. Which is actually good for Miami. It'll give them some more time to, get adjusted and everything else. Because the, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be marked in on the calendar, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because that one there is going to be excellent. Oh, here we go. Thursday, April 24th. That's the game that it's going to be at 10:30 for that one, and then they have the return.
Wait a minute, 10:30 Eastern Standard, right? Okay.
10:30 Eastern Standard, so that's correct. And then the return match versus Miami is going to be, what day is this? April 30th. At 8 p.m. at Chase Stadium, because they got the home and away,
right?
So those are going to be some two very good matches. So
they are. Wow, yeah, man. I mean, man, again, shout out to Vancouver. I mean,
surprise of surprise. Guys,
yeah, and that what was it? Colorado in was it San Diego FC? That was a great match also.
Yes, it was.
That was like 3-2. Colorado home. Those fans out there, I'll tell you what, man. I would love to catch a match out there in, I think Colorado and Denver. Those guys were going crazy.
Yeah.
And that team is really fun to watch. Yeah, I was surprised. And,
unfortunate game was L.A. versus Houston. That I watched about the first half and then went to bed. Man, Galaxy fans. Did they tie? They tied, yeah.
They tied? Okay. I'm trying to remember.
But
okay.
They went down. One of L.A. Galaxy's players got a red card in the first half. And then they were down 1-0 and with a red card. So the fact that they pulled out a draw from that, just everything they had against them was
right.
Good in itself. But... man, the Galaxy are struggling mightily. It's hard to see because we're talking CONCACAF. They played really good versus Tigres the midweek. I thought that was one of the better games they played. They just couldn't quite, finish it out. So they're out of that tournament. But yeah, it's hard to watch. They give everything. I will say that much. Because my wife, she loves some Galaxy. She loves some Ricky Coon. But it's not for lack of trying. They're trying hard. It's just they keep falling on just bad circumstances and just, oh, man.
Well, wait a minute. If they're trying hard and losing or tying, they ain't trying hard enough. I mean, come on now. I mean.
Yeah, I'll give you that. They got a superstar-sized hole on their team, and they're still trying to get over that. But Marco Royce has been injured, but even whenever he was playing for them, he was a shell of himself. And they're struggling in the midfield. They can't connect it from the back to the front, and they need that midfield connection, and that's what's kind of really putting them behind offensively. And then the coach does his thing with the whole goalkeeper controversy and whatnot. So
yeah, that's a mess. And we spoke about that, and this time might have bought him some time, but he's in LA. Like you said, it's different now, guys. The coaching, as we talked about with the coaching carousel, right? hey, it's a circus out here right now. And, you know, and you're coaching. I don't care. He won last year, but the way they've been playing this year, if they continue, I mean, I hope these guys get better. I think they got too much talent not to get better, right? Not to improve and start winning. But it's like we keep holding our breath. I keep holding my breath. I'm going to pass out. waiting on these guys. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, when are you going to kick in? And you think it's just a matter of time, but I don't know. I mean, Galaxy fans, hang in there.
They're struggling mightily. I think that they just need to kind of get that first win out of the way so they can just kind of breathe that sigh of relief. Because, you know, it's kind of like you remember playing sports, especially basketball, how if you had a stretch where you maybe didn't score or had a bad game or something like that, and then when you were trying so hard, it wasn't coming to you. And then whenever you just kind of just relax or hit that first shot, and then things kind of like flow for you better, and it happens more naturally. That's kind of what's going on with them now. What I feel like they're pushing too hard. They're trying to get it, and it's just not quite working for them. And they just need to get something, you know, a string of circumstances or plays to kind of go their way, get over that hump, and it'll do a lot for their confidence. That's where they are right now, because that trying and not succeeding, that's the worst for your mental.
It really is. And you're the defending MLS.
And I think that is another thing as well on their mental. They got to have that, like, we got to do this. We got to defend it. We got to, you know, and it's not working.
It really isn't. And their brother, LAFC, is playing. They're playing good pretty much so far, you know.
And that's the next game on our list here. They played San Jose.
That was a good match. I definitely got to watch.
San Jose. San Jose didn't win. It was 2-1 LAFC, but it was very – I watched the recap like you were mentioning.
Yeah.
And it was very good. San Jose had a couple different opportunities to tie or take the lead. One of them was a call back because of offside. And I think it was Chicho he was just fractionally, barely offsides. It was one of those where it's like, you can see it either or, you know, just the way it goes. But shout out to Bruce Arena and San Jose, because – if that game had been played last year, he's not on the squad. He hasn't, you know, made the changes and everything else. Oh, that's like 4-5-0. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been just dog stomped. I mean, bad.
Mm.
So he's turned around the culture, and they're competing, and also getting the players too. Getting Chicho Arango, getting Joseph Martinez. They're doing well. They're not where they want to be, but they're better than they were last year by a margin.
Right.
So, and you mentioned the game that just ended, SKC in Portland. Shout out to Portland getting a 4-2 win versus SKC. Good job for them. Glad it was a high scoring, interesting game on Fox. Even though I didn't think it was going to be.
Portland again? Shout out to the super fans up there.
Portland again.
Oh, MLS, spread the wealth. Let some of these other teams get some shine, man. Come on. I mean, you know. And this is coming from a place of love, right? Because we love the sport. We love the game. We love MLS. But you got too many good teams, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly and, right. They do have too many teams to not have, you know, Miami and Chicago be playing this, whatever, but that's neither here nor there. They're playing it currently.
Yeah, so 0-0 between our minute mark. Okay, I'm watching.
Oh, right. So let's wrap this episode up. We got the Sunday night game. Give me your predictions. What you got, Mike? And that's while you're musing, I'm gonna let everybody know that's St. Louis versus Columbus. It's at
it's that's what I was gonna say, because they're playing that new stadium. And we know Columbus great. I'm gonna get St. Louis for the upset, right? I'm gonna get St. Louis for the upset at home. That's why I was kind of like, Energizer Bunny Stadium, right?
Mike, I love you. You're my boy. You're wrong on this one, man. You're wrong.
I hope I am wrong.
The reason why I say this, Columbus is everything to play for. They have everything to play for. Pride is on display in this game, right?
Okay. Right.
So Columbus just went out, and we didn't mention this because we were going in on MLS and everything, but Columbus went out, made a big splash, and got Daniel Gosdag with the cash for player trades from Philadelphia Union for $4.5 million. So he goes from playing from the Union to Columbus, and I'm 90% sure he's going to be playing tonight. So that's going to be good for him.
Okay.
So we got a new player, got some more offense. This is good. That could be an X factor. Look out for him in this game. But I say that they're playing for pride because they're still undefeated. And Miami, so far, they're playing in Chicago. That more than likely, I would say Miami will probably I don't see them losing. They might get a draw, but I don't see them losing to Chicago. Maybe they prove me wrong. And both of those teams are undefeated. There are only two undefeated teams in the league, right?
Right.
Pride is on the line. They're not going to, you know, because if Miami gets a draw, wins the game versus Chicago, and they play next week, they don't want to be, they want to see it as like, okay, the two undefeated teams, not, oh, this team is the only undefeated team. And also, if something happens, you know, and Miami does somehow lose this game to Chicago, which is possible. Chicago's a good team. Then they'll have the pride of being the only team in the league left undefeated. And there's, like I said, pride's on the line for Columbus to go out and get that. And that's big. That's huge. When you have something to play for, you know, other than just, you know, trophies and this and that, when you have something like that, hey, it gives you a little extra motivation to go out and make that save or make that dive for the ball or, you know, do these things, the little things.
Excellent point, broski. Yeah, like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I just shout out. I'm going in with the super fans out there in St. Louis in the Energizer Bunny Stadium. You guys better be bouncing and hopping and jumping over there and cheering your guys on to, you know, because, like you said, Columbus, man, they just up the ante right now. Like, it's already a great team. And now, man, more ammo to the cannon over there.
Yeah. And they've got the still one more open spot. So they filled one of their open slots. And they still got one more left and money to spend. Look out for them. They can maybe bring in somebody from outside the league to shake things up. Or still, we'd mentioned this before in the last couple of episodes about the cash for players. They bought one. They still got the option to buy one more. So they can look in league or they could look out. So they're in a good spot.
They really are. And when is it, like the middle or the end of this month? I'm trying to remember. Maybe another week or two?
Yeah, I think it is the end of this month. You're right.
Yeah, I think that. Okay. Wow.
And then my guys then make a move.
What's up?
Well, this is the primary, because there's two transfer windows. They got the primary window, which ends the end of this month. And then the other one opens in the summer, I think, starting in July 1st. So they have to go a month or two, you know, without whatever. So if a deal was to open up for bringing somebody else in, it would have to be for the end of the year. But if they want to do this cash for players within the league, I think that it would have to materialize kind of similar to the Gosdag situation fairly quickly. Like once it was, the crew were interested in Daniel Gosdag. And the next day, he's on their team. Like it was like, boom, boom. There was no, they didn't wait at all. It happened quick.
Man, you got to move like lightning, right?
Yeah.
Brainstorm, right? And make it happen, right?
Yep.
But yeah, man, I got to get my roll on. And it's been a great show. Definitely had fun. Definitely got some stuff off of our chest and, you know, went savage mode a little bit on them and, you know, thought we had a good one right now. And hopefully guys.
For sure. And if you're not subscribed and this is the first episode that you listen to, please subscribe. Because this we're going to continue to give you information and topics like this that are relevant and hot right now in the soccer world.
Right. Definitely, guys. Definitely subscribe and definitely hit us up. You know, hit our email up and let us know how you feel, you know. get back to you. But yeah, we're growing. We're trying to get better and better at each episode.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up, Mike.
Yeah. Holla at you guys, super fans. Holla.
Later, knuckleheads.
Thank you for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace out.